All right. Hey, everyone. I'm here with my friend and Facebook COO, Sheryl Sandberg, for our typical one-on-one.
Welcome to our one-on-one. Here we are.
Yeah, so we've had this tradition for, you know, the last 8 years or so that we've worked together, where every week we start the week and end the week just meeting one-on-one together and going over everything that's going on and, you know, reflecting on what's going on, giving each other feedback. And, you know, so this is the last meeting of the year. So we thought it would be pretty fun to bring the community into it and do our reflections and talk about what we thought about the year and the year ahead with all of you. So thank you for joining our one-on-one. This is kind of a different thing to do, but I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we've never done this before. But the tradition, which I'm happy to share with people, really is from Dave, my husband. And when I was talking to Mark about taking this job, what Dave had said to me was, don't try to figure out all the details. Don't try to figure out even the big things like, do you have the same ideas of the business model? Do you have the same ideas mm-hmm. of what the frameworks are? But really work out the process. And Dave told me the one thing I should ask Mark for was making sure we started and ended the week together. And we did, and we've done it ever since. Normally, it's just us, mm-hmm. not all of you. But we're trying because we do have Facebook Live and we believe
this, in this is a special one. This is the end of the year reflection. So, I don't know how much work is going to get done today, but no, it's I think it's been a really important way that we run the company, and it's I think it's really key way that we share information and clear feedback and keep moving stuff forward.
Yeah, no, it's been really important because we always know that we're going to talk things through and we're going to get on the same page. And when we're not on the same page, we're going to keep talking it through. And it's important in all kinds of relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think we've tried to reflect this back that making sure other people, I do one-on-ones with the people who work on my team, you do one-on-ones, and it recurses down. I think it's helped the company a lot.
And I think the difference in the styles is super interesting. The fact that, I mean, I'm basically happy to just have an open-ended conversation and just talk about all the things that are going on. Sheryl comes in every Monday and Friday with a piece of paper and a list of like exactly everything that's going on and all the different functions across the company. It's like, all right, here's what we have to go through. And like, if I'm not moving at a fast enough pace in discussing and making progress and going through the list, Sheryl's just like, all right, we got to keep moving along. It's like, look, we have important HR issues, or here's this thing that's happening with this partner in sales, and we got to get through it all. So
it's true. I'm more list driven than Mark is.
Look, I mean, I always think that a lot of what makes, you know, companies are not about any one person, right? It's really not about any two people either. They're these combinations of people and teams, and I think the ones that work best are when you have people who have different strengths who complement each other. And I think a huge part of the success of Facebook and our ability to grow the community has been because of the partnership that we've built and a number of other really special people here who are on the core group who just each have different skills and are very different and are not afraid to challenge each other and bring their voice to the table. And I think that's a special thing, and it's always
awesome. It's been good for us. So this has been a big year for the world. We've talked about how it's been a really important year for sharing because a lot has happened and not all of it positive. This has been a year of a lot of angst, a lot of people having issues, really serious issues, violence, war, terrorism, all around the world. Very polarizing election in mm-hmm. our country, very polarizing votes in other countries. And through it all, I know we are proud. I know I'm proud when I think about the highlights of the year of how we've tried to help give people voice and how they've used that voice. Probably one of the biggest things we did this year when I think about the highlights was the new donate button. Mm-hmm. And we're working with 750,000 nonprofits, enabling people to donate to causes right from Facebook. Or the safety check. Since we launched a year and a half ago, 1 billion people have been notified that someone is safe on Facebook. This is natural disasters and also some man-made disasters in terms of violence. I think we're so sorry these things happen, and we know we want to eliminate them as much as possible, but when they do, the fact that people can quickly notify other people that they are safe mm-hmm. Is important to our community and something, you know, your team's built, and I'm really proud of Facebook for doing.
Yeah, I mean, this is, reflecting back on 2016, I mean, this has been, you know, in some ways, for our community and for businesses that are using Facebook, there have been a lot of great things that have happened. But if you look across the world, it's been a really tough year, right? Where, you know, there's just been a lot of change, right? Regardless of which side of it you're on. If you're pushing a new movement and that succeeded in the political movements in the U.S. or in Europe or in parts of Asia, even if you were on the side of that was pushing for that, this is big change, and that's an important thing for the world. And I think that, you know, when we think about what Facebook is doing and trying to give people a voice, one of the things that we are spending a lot of time reflecting on this year, and I think going forward, is we have a big responsibility to make sure that these tools are used to create the most benefit for people around the world. And Facebook is a new kind of platform. You know, it's not a traditional technology company. It's not a traditional media company. You know, we build technology, but we feel responsible for how it's used. We don't write the news that people read on the platform, but at the same time, we also know that we do a lot more than just distribute news, and we're an important part of the public discourse. And I, reflecting on 2016, this is just something that I am proud that people in this company take this so seriously, because I know that people in our community are, we're just a small part of the social fabric around the world, but we are a part of that. And I think we do have a big responsibility to get that right, and to keep on doing better and better work for people all around the world. And I know that people here take that super seriously.
And when you looked at our year in review, we released the top 10 of the year. You see that. You see the U.S. elections, you see Brexit being one of the biggest things. And interestingly, with Brexit, most of the conversation happened after the vote, not before. But you also see these other moments. You see, the number one live video of the year was the Chewbacca mom, right? So just a moment where, her laugh was so infectious. I watched it over and over. And the fifth time I watched it, I'm like, why am I still watching this video?
Because you have to.
Because you have to, right? But there's something compelling about her story. Or then you think about the Olympics, one of the big moments of the year. You know, and Michael Phelps, who was one of our earliest adopters, really used Facebook, 8 years ago in the Olympics, announced his retirement to people directly on Facebook. And I think in all of it, one of the things we think about a lot, along with the responsibility, is the opportunity to give people voice to share directly. So for fans of Michael Phelps to hear from him, I'm retiring at the Olympics. For, the Chewbacca mom, a woman, no one knew, to be able to burst on the scene with something that, kind of shows us the power of a laugh. In a year where maybe we needed more laughs. And maybe that's part of why that went so viral this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, there have been a lot of milestones for the company as well. So I think it's worth going through the milestones for the community. This year, the Facebook community reached 1.8 billion people, which is amazing. Nothing like
crazy.
That has been built before. This was a year that Instagram reached 500 million people, that both WhatsApp and Messenger crossed 1 billion people. So that's now a lot of people around the world who have access to free private messaging to communicate with the people they love who didn't have that before. And that's a big deal, and something that we think is a really positive force for good. And that we're really, really proud of what we're enabling.
And on the business side, which, is so important too, 60 million small businesses use Facebook, use our free product to find customers, to grow. And when you think about one of the big challenges in the world, it's definitely job creation and economic security. It's one of the underlying things that's causing so much angst for so many people. And I deeply believe that people are entrepreneurial. I work with one of the world's great entrepreneurs. But what you see in 60 million business pages is people throughout the United States, throughout the country, starting businesses. Some of them are things they do from their house. I've met in London a woman who started sewing dresses in her living room and selling them. People who sell cupcakes on the side of the road and then wind up with trucks of cupcakes and employees. And so in those 60 million pages, we see the entrepreneurial spirit that I think is so important to economic security. We also have 4 million advertisers. Those are people who are using us to reach their clients. And that's been pretty exciting. And then things like reactions, where people have the ability to not just like, but we move beyond like, or you can have other reactions. And that was, I think, pretty important, because there's a lot going on in the world that people want to react to, but sometimes they don't want to actually like it.
Yeah, it's been a long year. I forgot that one was this year.
Yeah.
And on the future technology side, some of the things that I'm most excited about for our efforts to connect the world, right? So, you know, we can't build a community that connects everyone if more than half of people in the world don't have access to the internet. And our internet.org efforts so far have connected more than 40 million people to the internet around the world. So it's you know, by far the most successful connectivity program that I'm aware of around the world for connecting people. And this is important because when people get access to the internet, it doesn't just let them connect with their friends and family, which is important, but it gives them access to education information and health tools and jobs and access to the ability to create pages like you're talking about and create businesses. So in terms of connectivity, I mean, one of the crazier things this year was we actually built and flew a plane, right? I mean, it's, you know, I don't think about Facebook as...
Not me. I didn't build it. No one get nervous. And no planes flying around.
And I did not physically build a plane myself either, but...
Now that we've seen Jarvis, we
are not. Yeah, maybe. Planes are different than software, but you know, we're not an aerospace company, right? And the idea that, but we believe that you can get the best people together and move quickly and make progress on big problems quickly. So 2 years ago, we didn't have any team working on a plane, and then this year we had a successful flight. And you know, the flight actually, it went even better than we thought. We thought we were going to do a 30-minute flight, and it actually, you know, when you test something like this, you're trying to push the limits of it and see how far it goes before it breaks, because this wasn't a commercial flight. We want to see what the fail points are so that way we can improve it and keep going. And it actually, we had to fly it for more than 90 minutes, I think, and into, like, harsher wind before we could actually get any type of failure, and it ended up being more efficient in the design than we thought. So this is now a plane that we think is going to be able to fly in the air, stay in the air for months at a time, beaming internet access to places that don't have connectivity, whether it's a disaster zone where the infrastructure was knocked out, or some place like a remote island or in the middle of the rainforest where there isn't infrastructure for that today. So that is, to me, that's just a really exciting thing. If you'd asked me, you know, when we started working together 8 years ago, like, all right, 8 years from now, are we building planes? I would have said you were
not.
Crazy.
I would have said you were crazy.
So that is one of the more interesting twists for me in our reflections for this year.
And as always, something we both care about is super important to women, because women are less likely, everyone knows this, but women are less likely to have access to data, less likely to be literate. And so when we can get internet access available to people who don't have it, we're working hard to make sure we get as many women as possible. And that has huge impacts for families. So
yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
All right. Well, in terms of future tech, there's tons of stuff in VR and AI as well. I mean, we shipped Rift and Touch. The hand controllers are now out. It's, you know, the best rated product that's on the market for VR. So we're super excited about that. On AI, I'm continuing to make huge progress on making it so that computers can see and understand what is in some content. So we can do things now like, you know, if you're visually impaired and you're looking at newsfeed, we can read to you, we can look at a photo, tell you what is in the photo, and then read it to you so that way you can hear it even if you can't see the photo. So stuff like that is pretty amazing. It's pretty cool how far AI and some of this technology is coming, and the teams here are doing a great job on that. Do you want to talk a bit about shift over to the personal side in terms of the last year and reflections going forward?
Yep, personal highlights. This is the first year I've ever kept a New Year's resolution. I make them every year. I'm, you know, one of those people who tries really hard, but like I think by February I'm not doing it. I used to teach aerobics in gyms. Gyms are really crowded on like January 3rd. And by February 3rd, it's back to normal. I was always that. But this year I made a resolution to write down 3 moments of joy. Every day, not gratitude, which I do separately and is really important, but joy, just to notice the times when things were good. And I've kept it all year in this little notebook that a friend of mine gave me by my bed. And that was great. And I think the other personal highlight for me was circles. So Lean In Circles, we hit 31,000 circles in 154 countries. We're unfortunately now on 6 continents because we had 1 circle in Antarctica, but they were temporary and they went home. So we're missing the Antarctica circle, but the Lean In Circles are empowering women all over the world. And what we hear from people is they're more likely to take a new job, reach for a goal, feel comfortable being ambitious for whatever their goals are. And that's something that's personally really meaningful to me. And that was a big milestone for the year.
Yeah, and 30,000 circles is a big physical movement. I mean, it's
A lot of people.
You know, getting people together to support each other in person is a really big deal. That's huge.
It's been great. All right, yours, personal highlights?
So I mean, I'm on the other side of doing New Year's resolutions and keeping them. I'm probably a little more extreme about that than maybe I should be. But
Shows that working next to you, if you can learn Chinese in a year, I should have been able to keep my resolution that year, which was learn to type. But I failed while you learned Chinese. I didn't learn to type, but that's okay.
I think it took me a little more than 1 year to learn Mandarin. But you know, I think some of these you go into them and you realize how hard it is. And I think you know I realize that I bit off more than I can chew. But this year, I mean, I just this week released some notes that I wrote about the Jarvis AI challenge to build a simple AI to run a lot of stuff in my home.
Make toast. I saw in the video. You need a piece of toast, and you're at Mark's house. Apparently, Jarvis can do that.
That took a long time to find a toaster that I could get to do that. But the point of the challenge for me is to learn, right? I mean, that's the point of all these challenges. And I wanted to explore what the state of the art in AI was, right? So what things are easier and more powerful than people think? What things are further out? You know, people speculate that AI is coming, like real AI is coming in a few years, and that's definitely further off than I think people think. But this was a really fun learning experience, and I got to build something cool out of it. It's you know, now I actually have this thing that I use every day, and it's got Morgan Freeman's voice.
Yes, no, it's crazy.
Which if you told me at the beginning of the year, so I mean, the way that whole thing came together was literally when I posted, I think it was like January 2nd or 3rd, about the challenge, Arnold Schwarzenegger commented on the post, which that doesn't happen to me. You know, you don't get someone as cool as Arnold typically commenting on your post, and he offered to do the voice. And before that, you know, I'm just nerdy, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna build this thing, I'm gonna build this AI, I'm gonna do some coding. It like hadn't even occurred to me
that
it would be
voice.
Cool or that it would be funny or anything. So I'm like, all right. I hadn't really thought about that, but you're not gonna turn Arnold down, right? So,
Definitely.
I mean, you know, if he offers to be the voice, you take him up on that because that is a once in a lifetime opportunity. So, you know, we planned on doing that, and you know, he was gonna do that, and you know, then a couple months ago, I decided to ask our community too, who should be the primary voice for this thing, and the overwhelming response was Morgan Freeman, which I mean is obvious, right? I mean, he's got this just amazing.
Well, he's got the voice.
The voice. The voice. Yeah. Right, and. I think more than 10,000 people voted that they wanted Morgan Freeman to be the voice. So as luck would have it, I was going to the Breakthrough Prize, the science award ceremony that Yuri Milner and I created a few years ago to award some of the top scientists in a number of fields. And Morgan Freeman was hosting this year. So I saw him, called him a few days later, explained the idea to him. I was like, hey, would you just do this for fun? Right, this isn't a business thing. And he's like, yeah, of course, I'll do it on the spot. So those guys were just a blast. I mean, they're so talented, and you know, they riffed, they did a bunch of funny stuff, and it was. I just think it's pretty funny how that whole thing came.
It's
together.
Really fun, and we had another big first, which is Max had her birthday and her first ice cream.
That's true.
And I was very excited about this. This is a family tradition. My sister started it. And everyone in our family, all the babies, we give them ice cream at a year. Mm-hmm. So I talked to Priscilla about this a couple months before Max's birthday because I was really worried that you were going to give her her first ice cream. And I had a date. I was going to do it on her birthday. And I kept checking in with Priscilla, like, because you did give Max bacon when Priscilla was away. So my fear was not...
Priscilla's sugar. No sugar.
Oh, no sugar. Okay, good. Well, I didn't know that. Once the bacon happened, I was worried that you would do the ice cream. But you kept the deal.
I did, of course.
And the crazy thing was... Unlike all the babies in my family, we eat all the ice cream. Max was completely not interested in the ice cream.
Yeah.
She prefers the bacon.
Yeah. That's Priscilla's daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have eaten the ice cream. But I can't believe Max is a year old. And she's walking now. Starting to walk. I think things are about to get a lot more interesting and chaotic around.
That's right. That. Eventually, I think she's going to like ice cream.
Well, if you keep at it.
I'll keep at it. I'll keep going.
So what else for 2017? I think we need to wrap up in a few minutes, but...
All right, going forward, what are the big things next year? I know we haven't revealed...
Oh.
We're not ready for your New Year's resolution because you'll actually stick to it, so you have to take it very seriously.
Well, you wrote a book.
I wrote a book.
I had the honor of reading an early version of the book. I think it's not quite done yet, but it's really good. And I think a lot of people are really going to both enjoy it, and I think it's going to be meaningful to a lot of people. I mean, you're sharing something that's just incredibly personal for you, but you've also done all this research around it, and it's really touching, and I think it's going to be an important contribution.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. Yeah, so Adam Grant and I wrote a book called Option B around what you do when things don't go as you want. And I think the idea is, you know, it comes from my loss of my husband, which you and, you know, others, you and Priscilla have been so amazing helping me through professionally and personally. But it's really about facing any adversity, because no matter what, things just don't go perfectly for any of us. And there's always something we have to overcome. And so trying to find some meaning from the tragedy, and excited to, and nervous a little, put that out in the world. But that's certainly
it's gonna
highlight.
It's going to be great. I think people are really going to like it. And I mean, broadly, I think 2016 was a historic year. It was a turbulent year. And I'm looking forward to continuing to connect more people, give more people a voice around the world in lots of different ways, and make sure that we rise to the responsibility that we have to make sure that all the things that you and I and everyone here are building are used to make the most positive impact in the world that we can. So thank you to everyone in our community for everything that you've done to build the community, to share the happy moments and the sad ones, and to bring your family and your friends a bit closer together. I guess on behalf of both
behalf
of us,
and our
last one-on-one of the year, thank you to our community. Yeah. Thank you to all of you, and we'll see you next year.
And a wish for all of you that the new year brings happiness and health and love and laughter and moments that are meaningful and moments you want to share. Happy New Year. Happy holidays, everyone.
See ya.